Good afternoon, and welcome back to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan. That drumming you heard in the background would be...
I'm Bill Cundiff, drummer extraordinaire. Our sponsor this hour is Team Power. They're our local Kubota tractor dealer. And you can get them up there in Shasta Lake City, right off Twin View Boulevard, 3119 Twin View Boulevard, just south of Phil's Propeller. Phone number is 226-9226. Go in there and see them right now for service specials. They got a fully equipped shop, lots of mechanics ready to work on your stuff. So
get in there. Start drinking.
Go in there and see them. Yeah, put that beer down. Holy cow. I guess it's 5 o'clock somewhere, but man. And you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com.
What a great website.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so, you know, well.
Hang on, fell out of my chair there.
Sounds of a struggle.
Yeah.
Courtesy of Bill. Oh, man. All right, so all the best laid plans of mice and men always go awry, it seems. So I believe we have both of our guests on the telephone, which means that we may have some strangulation when it comes to trying to talk over everybody. Anyway, we'll keep working on the Skype connection. But today is a big topic. Obviously, extremely current. Today is January 20th. If you're listening to an archive of this, the show first aired January 20th, 2019. And we called it Comprehensive Border Layered Security Solution because that's what Chuck Floyd and Bruce Moran have called the plan that they've outlined for national security. They work on this stuff all the time. And the Comprehensive Border Layered Solution document actually is on our website at wethepeopleradio.us. And I hope you will go there and pull it up. I do have it on the webpage for today, but I don't know, due to issues with the website program that I've been screwing with all week, it won't put the graphics up. So pull the document up because there are some great graphics on there, and it shows you it's not just a wall. You know, you hear these idiots all the time talking about how we don't want a wall. Well, look at this. Look at the what a comprehensive border solution looks like. It's amazing and super, super impressive. So these guys are both with Security Solutions Technologies. Chuck Floyd is the chief executive officer and senior executive with an MBA and a master's degree in logistics with over 25 years, probably more now because I've had this on here for a few years, experience driving strategy, business development, market penetration, regulatory compliance, acquisitions, program management, and joint ventures with industry and U.S. Departments of State, Defense, Homeland Security, Health and Human Services, Justice, Veterans Affairs, and the U.S. Congress. So we listen to all these knuckleheads on, I don't know, I mean, if you have to torture yourself like I do periodically and watch CNN or something, and you listen to these guys spout off about border security, yeah, it'll be fun today. You'll get to hear from people who actually know what they're talking about. Bruce Moran is the National Security Advisor who focuses on strategic planning for national security issues. As a consultant, he works with public officials, U.S. government committees, departments, agencies, think tanks, and corporations. He works on special national security projects and defines clear hands-on working solutions for crisis preparedness and crisis readiness scenarios, which would totally fit today's topic when we're talking about the border. So all those people who will tell you that we are not having an issue and that there's really nothing going on down there, I do believe you'll change your mind by the end of the program. So, fellers, I don't know who wants to start, but go ahead.
This is Chuck. So can everybody hear me okay?
Yep, you're all good.
Good. Well, first off, before we start talking about the border security plan, which is very detailed and with something that the Congress and others should really do. We've been talking about this for many, many years. I'd like to just first off talk about the government shutdown and congressional pay. I wrote an article to a local D.C. newspaper saying that when members of Congress do not do the one job they're elected and supposed to do, which is to fund the government and protect America, they should not receive their paychecks. They are not taking the responsibility for their actions. And also, I think that as each day that the government is shut down, members of Congress should be fined $1,000 a day. If businesses worked on, you know, the way Congress does, they'd be out of business in 2 days. So
Exactly.
You know, when will politicians take responsibility for the actions? And in this case, they're non-actions. It's about time that members of Congress be accountable to the American taxpayer and do what is best for them, for the American taxpayer, not themselves or the party. You know, President Trump went on national TV, gave a good presentation. Yesterday, he offered a great deal to the Democrats, which they turned down before they even knew what it was. And if you really look, and if the American taxpayer really understood the true issue, they would be outraged. Right now, we spend over $200 billion a year on illegal immigration. Let me repeat that. $200 billion a year on illegal immigration. $30 billion for a border security plan. You know, the return on investment, the ROI, is 1.5 months. So what are they complaining about? You know, the issue with the Democrats is that they don't want border security. They want to keep flooding the United States with the illegal invaders that I call them, because we have 24 plus million invaders in our country now that are illegal. And you look at how the Democrats have turned California and other states only due to illegal immigration, which we'll talk about a little bit later.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's incredibly frustrating for people to watch this, because it keeps going around and around, and it has for years, absolutely for years. And I think everyone knows that if the president backs down on border security and doesn't, you know, just agrees to, oh, let's go ahead and get the government, you know, the federal government shut down, let's get that stopped, and we'll work on the border later, we've done, I don't even know, do you guys actually know how many times that has happened?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Lucy happened. And Charlie Brown with the football.
Yeah, it's happened every time since Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan said, oh, I believe my Democratic colleagues, I'm going to go in and give them amnesty, 3 million people amnesty. Guess what? It was Senator Kennedy and his group's plan to have illegal immigrants come into this country, never stop them, because they saw the advantage of voting and how to keep their power. That's very, very simple.
Well, and I think also this is probably as far as they've ever pushed it down the road as far as getting it done since I can remember. And to back off now, I don't think we'll ever have another opportunity like this to get something actionable done.
Well, to have somebody in the White House who's willing to just take all this incoming flack. You know.
You're absolutely correct. I wrote the same or very similar border security plan for President Bush way back in 2004. If you remember all of the radio shows and everything else we did in Washington, D.C., but on this issue, I was part of the Minuteman Project, where we went to the border. We looked at who was doing what. We called CBP. They would come, look at them, go, hey, we don't care. I mean, it was just atrocious. And so, you know, we've been on this issue for a long, long time, and I totally agree with your comment that this is the first president that really and seriously wants to do something about illegal immigration, about putting up a good layered security barrier so they cannot get in, because once they set a foot into the U.S., they're gone. It's catch and release. You look at, you know, we can only hold them so many days. We only have a certain number of facilities. And so we'll get into that a little bit later when we talk about the president's speech and what he has offered and the millions, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars that he wants to use at different places. But right now, this total disagreement on the government shutdown and the border and the wall is only about one thing. It's about 2020 election. The Democrats want to damage President Trump. They want to deny him any funding for his number one issue to the American people, and they're going to use this for the next 2 years.
See, and with your figure of $200 billion a year in cost to the taxpayer, with, you know, you have on your list here for us, our little cheat sheet says schools, hospitals, courts, jails, American lives, and then we've got sanctuary cities, and we're broadcasting from California, so obviously, you know, we're at the hub of the problem. That's a really big number, and the biggest thing, one of the things shouldn't say the biggest because it changes by the minute, but one of the things that you hear all the time is that $5.7 billion is way too much money. It's, oh, that's this huge price tag and it's a total waste. And I think in light of $200 billion that it's costing all of our states and all, as a comprehensive number, I think $5.7 billion is pretty small. We're going to come right back with our guests, Bruce Moran and Chuck Floyd. Actually, you've only heard from Chuck. Bruce, we got Bruce in a box in there. But we'll hear back from both of them. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city.
We're back. All right, Chuck, Bruce, who wants to take on the next little piece about the layered border security so we can, crush this little wall thing that everybody's worried about?
It's more important to see what a layered security system incorporates. I'll take on the thermal aspect of it because we're always concerned about people coming through, and the thermal detectors go up to a mile. They have like a strobe flashlight on top of 12 million candle power, and it can disorient people just in and of itself and identify them. It can be used for moving or stationary objects. It can sense. So this is the stuff that the Navy SEALs use. It can be put on top of a tower, and the tower is used in conjunction with the wall. And then you can have sensors on the ground, and they can sense where people are at. You can differentiate between a human being and an animal, and you can tell if they're moving or stationary. So you have what we would call technical redundancy, and each system backs each other up, and then they could have a command and control center where they're picking all this up. Then they can send out a drone to look at it and see what's actually there, too. So you have three areas where you're triangulating what's going on, of things happening outside your border. And this is the way the military does it. There's no reason why the border security people can't do that. The president's asking for 2,750 more. That's a start, you know, and that'll keep the system, you know, at its minimum and then maximum level at those points it's being instituted. And Chuck can weigh in on that.
Uh-oh. Did we lose Chuck?
Oh, we're getting the keep talking. I think they're struggling with the Skype thing. Well, okay. Bruce, we're looking
so
at...
What we're looking at, I'm just talking about two things there. We're not even talking about the fence itself or a double fence or the different kinds of applications you can use throughout the border. Now, you have anti-drone devices. The drug cartels are sending meth over in drones. We can stop that. We have the anti-drone systems. They actually detect it and send it back to the source. Then you know where it's coming from, and then you can authorize security, and they can notify the Mexican federales where it's coming from and go get those people. So what we're looking at is a complete secure border, not anything any different than what we would use in Afghanistan, and the kind of support services that would be there is the kind that the president had outlined. You use dogs, Dogs are better than, in some ways, in some of the tech equipment because they can go in there and they know what they're doing. They can smell, you know, and identify smaller things. The machines work fine, but the dogs work better. Border security people will, you know, confirm that. We work with them for, it's going on 16, 17 years, and they know exactly what's going on in real time, what's going down, and how to handle it. The information where I'm giving you is basically what we've been doing for, you know, 16 years and what Border Security has been saying they needed. So what we're looking at is a Congress that has not fulfilled the needs of the Border Security team and previous presidents. Along with that, we got to take into account, too, that the border itself is porous in spots, and the cartels are taking advantage of that and are able to come in because they're testing us. As we're testing them and watching them, they're testing us. They'll send groups here, groups there. They'll see how we respond. They might send a group of part of a caravan of 200 people. We'll go attend to that. Then they'll sneak the drugs to another spot while we're attending to that because we know we got to use resources. When our resources are limited on the border, then border security got to attend to the immediate things that are going on. Then you got to send those people to a detention center. Then you got to have them processed. So what the Democrats were talking about is more judicial. Judges on the border, we're talking about that too. We're also talking about more facilities, more ability for the drug cartels to get checked, you know, and that's what we're looking at also. There's a whole slew of matters that need to be addressed. It's the smuggling of arms, it's smuggling of people, underage, the children. We also have we got to stop the human rights violations that are going on, so Mexico has to get involved. The Mexico people, you know, the Mexican people should be complaining about it as much as we are.
Well, the numbers on here are staggering, and this is the stuff that you never hear, and I really do hope people will go to the site. It's wethepeopleradio.us. You're looking for the program on January 20th, 2019. And in the document you guys have provided here, in 2018, 17,000 adults arrested at the border with existing criminal records. In 2017, 3,755 known or suspected terrorists prevented from entering the U.S., and $2.5 billion made annually by human smuggling. I mean, those are big numbers.
Yep, and we don't know what else is going on. That's what's known. See what it says? 3,755 known or suspected terrorists prevented from entering.
Yeah.
How about the areas where they're coming to and we don't know?
Oh, well, yeah, and these are only the numbers we know.
Yeah, so I would probably add a couple thousand on there because they're coming in from all different areas at all different times. And once you have the border locked down, like I was just talking about the simple things of the thermal radiation with the drones, with the, you know, sensors on the ground, they're not coming through at all. They're not digging any tunnels. All those tunnels you're hearing about that keeps the borders, you know, vulnerable, those all go away. They vanish into thin air because the sensors will pick them up digging. The sensors will pick them up moving. The sensors will pick them up in a stationary position. The light will flash on them. So it becomes a disorientation factor. Once you get closer to the border, the drone goes up. You watch them, what they're doing. And then the people come out from their stations where the Border Patrol is on the border, not away from the border. They'll go immediately to address the issue. They won't get anywhere near close to the border. And that's the problem. And Chuck and I worked with Senator Frisk back in 2006, and that's what Chuck was talking about. The Secure Fence Act was passed in 2006, so you had to think of us working. I think Chuck said he's working at 2004, 2005 to draw up the plans, and then it went into the Secure Fence Act, and then there was Rep. King who worked out of New York to get it done on their side of the aisle. So you had Peter King out of New York and then Senator Bill Frist. But the actual technology and top to bottom mechanics of doing the tactical operations, that was done on Chuck's side. You know, that was done on the Senate side with Bill Workman, Sherry Harder, and a few other people. I'm sorry, you know, if we don't mention everybody, there's a group of about 15 of us. So.
Well, there have been people working on this for years, and every time, you know, we get anywhere, even close to making some headway, like, I mean, this has really come to a stalemate.
Chuck gets very, very, very frustrated. And once we saw President Trump use it as part of his platform to run for office, we said, oh, my God, I can't believe this. I mean, we are saying this to ourselves. I said, what's going on here? I mean, nobody ever would want to do it in that fashion and say we're going to get a border protected and locked out. We knew the cartels for the last 20, 30 years. Now they're making billions of dollars, you know, and now if you look at it over a 20-year period, it's trillions of dollars. That's going into the cities. That's going into the villages and towns all throughout the United States. That's where the drug cartels have infiltrated and selling their drugs. And that's the other part that President Trump is emphasizing, is that the cartels, and there's six major ones that are, you know, controlling the borders. They fight over the borders so they can get the drugs across. They're fighting all the time for territory to get on, you know, where Brownsville is and McAllen and, you know, over by San Diego, the Sinaloa cartel. It's the world's largest transnational narco cartel. And we're, see, I'm talking, my voice goes up here. Sorry. Yeah. I get a little emotional about it because I'm frustrated that when we see these actions taking place, you know, with the voting, the shutdown, we think it's unnecessary. We think it's uncalled for. And to be serious about it, they're not doing their jobs, and they should be called on a rug for it. But there's nothing written in the Constitution that says, you know, you have to do and fulfill your duties in a way that's written in the Constitution, that, or there'll be some types of consequence. It has to be, something has to be done here so they can't do these things. And Chuck was suggesting no pay. That's one way to go. But then you might have other, you know, relationships that exist that people are doing it because special interests don't want it. It's not what the American people don't want. It's special interests want. And there's a whole different understanding here of how these things are transpiring. But I'll leave the floor to Chuck now.
Okay. Let's take a really quick break so we don't have to cut you off mid-sentence when we come back.
Sure. Okay.
Chuck, you fire away. Hey, so I found this song in my stash, and I thought, well, hey, maybe this is one way to go for a little extra border security in the absence of really good technology. We'll be right back.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
So, fellas, just in case you want to have a musical torture device added to the border security, I was thinking that song might work. With the flashing lights, you could blast that. And, I mean, that would make me turn around and go back, actually.
Well, yeah, you know, we do have technology on beams of sound that we use for controlling crowds that would work on the border, but they don't want to use that. But you know, a couple of items I'd like to talk about is that if you look at interviews of people in these caravans that are coming to the U.S., which are thousands and thousands of people, the illegals tell the reporters, I'm not worried about getting over into the U.S. I have family in the U.S. Now, so they know that they're gonna get across the border. They get one foot into the U.S. according to the Democrat rules. 20 days or so, you're in detention, and then you're catch and release, and then you go wherever you're going to go.
And I think, Chuck, that a lot of folks thought the whole catch and release thing was over, but it's really not. I mean, all they have to do is come over and say they're under 18 or they're a family, then they get the card and they get released into our community. And that, to me, seems like if that were to change, it would be a big deterrent for these folks. You get caught, you get sent right back, regardless of who you are and what your age is.
Yeah, you know, you look about, you know, last month, there were, I think, between 200 to 300 illegals that were taken by bus to El Paso's bus station and released by CBP.
Right.
Why did they do that? Why didn't they take them into Mexico and release them? You know?
Yeah, why didn't they?
I don't know. I mean, I wrote an email to the White House, so what the heck is going on here? Take them to Mexico and put them back across the border. You've recorded them. You now know who they are. And so, as President Bush, from President Bush and on, and then just President Trump yesterday said that there are 900,000 cases in the court system where they've told people, you got to come back, and we don't have enough lawyers to process them. If you get caught and we don't immediately return you, 3 days, you should have your hearing and you're out of here. And so one other, you know, a couple other things that the liberals don't want to talk about is if you go down to the Goldwater Air Force Range with all those beautiful cactus all along the border, the drug agents, the criminals are driving vehicles and they're destroying the environment there every day. And so you look all across the border, you have places where we call, you know, they have rape trees and all the other areas where they come in and they dump their clothes and water bottles and all the other stuff. It's an environmental hazard across the border. The Republicans talk about it. The Democrats don't want to talk about it because they don't want people to know that there's also an environmental issue to our national treasures along the border, in addition to what's happening with the people that are getting raped, the children and women, they're being abused. I mean, it's just atrocious. And so President Trump is absolutely correct that there is a humanitarian crisis on our border.
And Chuck, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, we can't build 2,000 miles of wall. How much do we really need to really make a significant impact? I know there's areas that are natural borders, but how much would we have to build to really start making a significant impact realistically?
The plan I wrote, where we divide the border into 50-mile increments and have different contractors do each 50 miles, you could secure the entire border within 2 years. And so there are multitude of different solutions. One is a HESCO product that the military uses overseas for all their combat operations. This, you can put up a mile in of this kind of barrier within 2 hours. And so there's lots of solutions out there. And so along the Rio Grande, you would need the HESCO design because you don't want to destroy the environment along the Rio Grande. There are other areas that you need a concrete wall, that you need a steel wall, and there's other areas that you don't need a wall at all because of the natural barriers. The only thing you need are drones, UAVs, sensors, cameras, all those sort of things. Now, one of the things that I am very curious about is that in the military, I was on what we call the MFO, the Multinational Force and Observers, peacekeeping force in the Sinai Desert. And so we had a tremendous area that we and the Egyptians and the Israelis, we had different stations along the border, and we were all along the border, and we just observed. We did not have any physical or any kind of military action against the people that were moving back and forth. We observed what was going on. And so we
reported. Oh, Chuck, can you tell them where that's located?
Yeah, it's in the Sinai Desert between Egypt and Israel. And so we were on that. I was on that. We've been on that. We had a U.S. battalion there for probably 15 years. Now the Egyptians monitored along with the U.S., and we had 11 different nations there doing this border control and observation. We need to put the same thing along the Mexico-U.S. border and have the Mexican military and the U.S. military involved and put the military on the border. CBP cannot handle it. They're outgunned.
Oh, I think we lost Chuck.
Yeah, what are you saying? That our we call it CBP. It's Customs Border Patrol. There's not enough of them, and when the cartels come through, They're carrying the high-end automatic, you know, AK-47s and stuff like that. So what we're looking at is a part of the border could be used in conjunction with, because right now, as you look at certain parts of the border where Mexico is, they don't have, like, McKellen there. The president was over there. On the other side, the police were basically wiped out by the cartel. So the Mexican military is running, you know, the security for the region on the other side of the border there. So those are kind of things you look at. And what we're talking about here is the high-end areas where the cartels can sneak through. And then you can put the Mexican military there and with the U.S. military and do joint operations. So that's what he's talking about in the Sinai Desert there. That's where Egypt is, and they were digging all those tunnels. Remember that?
Right, right.
And the Egyptians dug all those tunnels, and they're sneaking into Israel and, you know, killing people and all kinds of things. Well, the same thing was happening in Israel. That's where they had to lock it down, where Chuck was working. The same thing we have going on over here. If you heard the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, he said, yeah, get that border down, because he knew that Chuck worked on it, and we're trying to institute a similar kind of program. It's not going to be exactly the same, but, you know, you got to tailor it to, you know, how your current border situation is. But, you know, part and parcel to it's going to be run the same way if you have the military operations there on both sides of the border. Cartels aren't going to go against that. Simply not. It's a no-go situation.
No, they're gonna look for an easier path. One of the questions a lot of folks are actually the statements that's being made is walls don't work. But in your report here, you state that San Diego built a wall in 1992, and the border crossings have dropped 92%.
Let me interrupt you really for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
That was given to us from the White House. That's the White House response.
Okay.
Ah.
All right.
This is your information, and that was given to us by DH Secretary Kirsten. So, mm-hmm.
You know, walls do work. You know, Duncan Hunter built that wall out of metal from Vietnam in San Diego. Once they did, a lot of the immigration stopped. But you have to get a more complex and layered security these days versus back then.
Mm-hmm. Well, where they have placed walls, they list El Paso, Tucson, Yuma. The crossings dramatically reduced over time because they go for the easier areas. So I don't see where they get off saying walls don't work. Walls do work. But
well, it's more than just the wall, remember. We're talking about HESCO.
Right.
HESCO is a barrier. And the military Corps of Engineers, we encourage people to go to the HESCO site and look how easy it is to put up. It's amazingly easy. And they could put up, what did you say, Chuck, a mile within a day?
Several hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing barrier. For people who are wondering what the heck we're talking about, you can actually see a picture of it. I'm sure you could probably Google it. It's HESCO.
Exactly.
But it's also part of this document that we have linked at wethepeopleradio.us.
We use it in Afghanistan to protect our guys in the mountains.
Right. That's and what it says. It's a military uses in combat areas, so it makes perfect sense.
Well, if they open up a base, that automatically goes down, and, you know, it's done.
Yeah, and so, also vehicle barriers, which we need. We have to have vehicle barriers along with the other wall barriers for people. You look at just this past week where by 200 to 300 illegals dug under one of the structures they have already. They couldn't do this with the HESCO because you have big blocks of rock and dirt behind the wall. And so they're going to have to dig like 100 feet just to get through. So it's in, you know, if they use the plans that we have given them, and if they use an MFO, a multi-force observer concept along the entire border of observation with the military from both Mexico and the U.S. doing the observation, this will work, and this is a solution that nobody's talked about.
Yeah, and I read somewhere in this information where that $5 billion will be made up in a couple of months just in savings from less drug seizures, less crossings. I mean, that money is, I think that's very well spent to get that kind of a return.
Well, much more happens once they're across the border than we have to provide them
exactly.
with food stamps and places to stay, and sometimes they get flown to an area on taxpayers' money.
Yeah.
So those are things that aren't always added into the, the sums we're talking about, because they need to be addressed, and the costs are actually higher per person once they come in, and then they get government aid. I think government aid goes anywhere between $25,000 to, if you have a family, it has to go up to $35,000-$40,000.
Yeah, see, and so while they're all braying about how $5.7 billion for a wall, that's just crazy money, everything about this makes it not crazy money. We've got to take another quick break. We'll be back.
Well, I'd like to add something when we come back.
I don't know. Okay, we'll let you. He's all click. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with Bruce Moran.
Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. If you can't swim the tide, don't try to deny living on the other side. Don't cross the river if you can't swim the tide. Don't try to deny living on the other side. Don't cross the river if you can't swim.
Can never get tired of that one when we talk about border security. All right, Bruce, without further ado.
What we were talking about was the ability to save monies.
Yes.
Now, as we're talking about closing the border down, the monies that will be saved there could also go, as you look at the inner city schools, local law enforcement, that would be able to bolster what we need. With President Trump was saying law and order across the border in the United States. Now that you have one segment and a major segment locked down security-wise, now you can concentrate on the rest of the United States to stop the drug trafficking, to stop the child pornography and the selling of sex with kids. All this stuff can be stopped. You can support the schools, inner-city schools, help the kids on the border, make sure the people on the border now know that they're going to be safe and sound. These are things that are common sense and practical, yet have not been talked about because of the political volume that's been turned up. And I call it media mesh for the border. The border is actually a sound and practical program, and it's been endorsed by the border security people. So what's going on here? If you, I would ask them to have a debate between the people who don't want the border the way it is, and that would be, those senators on that side of the aisle versus the Border Patrol people and the people who are ranchers and that are on the border, that don't tell them exactly what it is. And then I think there might be a slight embarrassment there because they'll see that the arguments are weak. They don't have any sound rationale behind them. And if you're looking at the way they're positioning themselves, they're very inadequate in terms of the law, too. The weak in terms of how we structure our laws to, the sanctuary cities and the DACA and things of that sort. There's nothing wrong with having people come across our borders. We don't have any qualms about that. Let's have them come through the ports of entry. And then once they come through the ports of entry, let them go through the process like everybody else does and become citizens and, be law-abiding. If we're looking at the crimes that are committed and things of that nature, it's going to be reduced to the effect where you know where people are, you know what they're doing, and you know that they're being contributing to our society.
Well,
and they're assimilating.
They're always saying that that the border towns are the safest. And all the information that you have forwarded in the document we've listed for today's show would show the exact opposite. And I'm going to go back to your statistic because, I'm sorry, why isn't anyone talking about this? But in 2018, so just last year, 17,000 adults were arrested at the border with existing criminal records. Those are only the people who were arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows how many actually got in?
That is true. You know, Texas is having a very hard time with the amount of illegals that are coming into Texas. Texas and Arizona are the two big states that are having illegal problems. You look at the safe houses, all the other stuff that's set up with these transnational gangs. You know, it's just atrocious of the entire network that is set up, and ICE and others do some, but they don't interdict as much as they should. And so this is a crisis. It's been going on for a long time. We have to control our border. Now, the other thing that Bruce said is, you know, letting people come through the ports of entry, then they can register. Well, the problem is, according to our UN commitments and around the world, people are supposed to register either in their home country or in the first country they get to. And so that would be Mexico. Mexico has offered these caravans of people asylum, work permits, to register. They don't want that. They just want to come to the U.S. border, come across illegally, and go get with their families and others, people that they know, part of that 24-plus million illegal population in our country. And so the system is not working. And so we have to do something outside of the normal box in order to get something accomplished. You cannot have people register in the U.S. and then release them to the U.S. If they register, then they have to return to Mexico or wherever they came from.
Yeah, there's got to be, we've got to get something in place. If they are collected at the border, however you want to say it, they're given a piece of paper and released into our communities. The way it is now, we have no control over whether they come back or not unless we find them. I imagine there's a very small percentage of them that absolutely do come back and say, you know, and press their case for amnesty or whatever. But the majority of them just disappear into our communities. And that's where all this added cost comes in with the criminality. One of the things in the report here lists the eight most dangerous border towns, and I'll bet you a majority of the people listening live near one of these towns and are affected by this issue. It's nuts.
Yes, it is. I mean, I've been on the border many, many times. I've been shot at by the cartels and others that are smuggling drugs along the Arizona border. And so I know what's there. Our southern border is probably one of the most dangerous borders in the world. And so, you know, to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer saying it's a manufactured crisis?
No.
Yeah.
It's manufactured because we made it. And we're not doing anything to stop it.
If you pour gas on a fire, it's bigger.
It's going for, well, I would say a generation or so now.
Mm-hmm.
People are tired of hearing the same thing over and over, but that's the problem. They get numbed by hearing the same things, and then nobody really does anything about it.
Yeah, and the sad part
and
is...
Trump is stepping up. I'm going to talk over you for a second. Stepping up and saying, we're getting it done.
Don't worry about it.
And the only people who are resisting them are Congress.
Right.
And it's been the same thing.
Yeah, right. Which makes no sense.
And I think that's what's creating these caravans, is they know that if they can just set foot and drag some kid along with them, whether it's theirs or not, chances are they're going to get to stay. And
well,
and
also they're dragging kids on because they want to smuggle them in and use them in the sex trafficking.
Exactly.
Right, but it also gives them a free ticket in.
Yeah, and they get money for everyone they bring in.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
just to kind of spoiler alert the second hour, in case people think we're just going to, you know, hit the same thing over and over again. The next spot that we're going to go after the news break is the president's speech from yesterday. And he included concessions on DACA and TSP and courts and agents and detention centers and all that. And, you know, you had a lot of conservative people that were mad that he was offering so much and only getting $5.7 billion when really the price tag's more like $20. So you guys are going to address that, and I know that you've had lots of discussion about that. So we're going to go there. And this also keeps us on track. Chuck sent me a list, so you know I'm kind of good with a list.
We got to talk about the terrorists also, and I want to address that too. So
yeah, let's talk about who we've caught.
Terrorists. What can average citizens do? A little bit with where we think the White House is going to go in the future. So we still have like a minute and a half, 2 minutes. So go ahead, hit the terrorist thing.
Oh, that's going to take about 10 minutes.
So that's okay.
We can talk about...
We can either that or we can, talk about nothing for 2 minutes.
I think he's been forthcoming. He sits down, and then what we look at is the opposition to his proposal is just shut down. He has nowhere to go. And now I think they're going to be addressing it this coming Wednesday, and we'll see what they have to do. And then one of the things we were talking about, should he... evoke an emergency crisis. It has been an emergency crisis, but we'd rather have it done through funding. You see what I mean?
Right.
And if they can't do it, then it's really sad that Congress can't work on behalf of the president who's doing the right thing.
Well, it's kind of mind-blowing. I mean, the Democrats had time to go to Puerto Rico and hang out and take pictures of each other, and then they jumped on a bus for their secret trip to Afghanistan via Brussels, where I guess they had to stop and give the pilot a nap or something. But
but
bottom line is, with all of this stuff hanging, I mean, we have just to kind of give you bring it down to the little guy. The government shutdown, a lot of people say, well, nobody notices, it doesn't do anything. But here, like in this district, in the far northern part of California, it's really cold. And you have people who have wood heat. That's their sole source of heat is wood heat. They can't get a wood permit from the Forest Service because there aren't enough employees to do the wood permits. So I know that there's an effort being made by the local forest supervisors to figure out how to get around that. But that's something simple. Here people need to heat their houses for the winter. They don't need a federal employee to do it for them. They just need them to sell the wood permit and be able to go forward. Now, there's a kind of a thought in the background that if there's nobody to sell the permit, there might not be anybody to enforce it. But
there's tons of small businesses that are shut down.
But you
as
didn't
a result
hear that here.
This,
and that then there's that
aren't federal agencies. Yeah. So,
all righty, yeah. we'll be right back with Chuck Floyd, Bruce Moran, Security Solutions Technologies. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local Kubota tractor dealer. And Team Power is the place to go if you need a new tractor, need to trade in an old one, get a new one, get your old one worked on. One thing they're doing now, Kubota has come out with a program where if you are a victim of the car fire and lost a tractor in that fire, regardless of brand, Kubota will give you a substantial discount towards a new tractor. So get a hold of them, get the details. They're at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Our phone number is 530-226-9226, or you can get them online at readingtractors.com.
All right, you actually do a better job when I don't interrupt you. But it's so much fun.
Who? Somebody talking?
So I thought.
Is that you over there?
So I thought I'd give you a chance.
How small are those tractors?
we photoshopped. You guys would enjoy it. I should send you. I'll email you the picture. We photoshopped Lyle Rapacki last week on.
Are they small enough for me to get him on the subway here?
Yeah, I could.
You come in. I'm sure they'll package it up for you.
Next time we watch Chicago PD or Chicago Fire, I want to see a Kubota tractor driving down the street and you waving at us.
Yeah.
Hard to explain.
We'll buy the Board of Trade and wave to you.
Yeah, yeah. Surprise. All right. So let's see. I guess I should go. Let me go backwards and tell people who we're talking to so that in case they missed the first hour. Okay. So it's important to know, just because politics and things change and sometimes we replay shows for the benefit of people who've missed them, actually. This is January 20th, 2019, and this is we're talking about the comprehensive border layered security solution with Chuck Floyd and Bruce Moran of Security Solutions Technologies. And their bios and all that are at the website, wethepeopleradio.us, along with something that I really think is worth going and either printing it out if you don't like to read it online. I've got a PDF version and a Word file. But their security solutions, profile, along with a whole bunch of other really important related information is online on our site there, because we're hearing so much about how, you know, the $5 billion, $5.7 billion is way too much money, and we don't need to spend that kind of money on a wall. Well, I think you'll understand once you go see the graphics and all that. This isn't just a wall. This is much more comprehensive than that. And that it's no big deal because, you know, hardly anybody's a criminal, and there are no problems with people coming across. And a lot of good information with source that and one stat that I cannot stop harping on, that in 2018, 17,000 adults arrested at the border had criminal records, existing criminal records. So those are just the people we arrested. It's definitely a problem. It also will pay for itself once you start looking at how much these things actually cost and the cost to our country on an ongoing basis. This we'd be money ahead to get this situation solved. So Bruce was going to talk about terrorists before we hit the news break, so I didn't want to jip you out of that, Bruce.
It's about terrorists with the caravans. That's the problem.
Oh, yes, them.
I remember, if people go to the website, they can look at this. 100 terrorists, or it could be a little less, were stopped in Guatemala. They were ISIS terrorists, and they were caught and charged and then put back to their home country. 100 were caught. How many didn't get caught? They hooked up with the caravan, or didn't hook up with the caravan and hooked up with another ISIS network in Mexico, or hooked up with a transnational narco terrorist group, or hooked up and went straight through Mexico and then through our border. See, this is the problem.
And now, how? Just out of curiosity, how are they catching the terrorists?
They're on the border. They were from various countries.
Okay.
That's why I don't know what it was. So what Chuck and I put in there is, well, you got to find out who they are, what country they're from, and the most important thing, how they got to the Guatemalan country to come over the border. What routes did they all take? They all take different routes.
Mm-hmm.
Some come through Belize. Some come through Argentina. Some come through Brazil, some come through Portugal. You know, how are they getting here? What are the multiple routes they're taking? And then we can work with those countries to lock that part of it down, so they didn't get caught between a rock and a hard place with ISIS coming through their countries, too.
Yeah, and
there has to be only a limited amount of these routes they can come through to get to Guatemala. Once you start targeting those routes with our, you can say, Interpol over in Europe, and then with the Brazilian government and with the Argentinian government and with the Mexican government, then that all comes to a head. But what I'd also like to talk about is we were talking about the Honduras and the Guatemalan government and El Salvador. Those are also cartel run. So Honduras' brother, the president's brother, had been indicted in Miami. And he's now awaiting trial in New York. So the cartels are heavily influenced there. So not only is ISIS coming through, but the cartels are helping facilitate this, and they're making money on both ends, not only the drugs, but the human trafficking part of it. That's the sad part of it. It's been so corrupt for so many years that they've made inroads in so many different ways. So when I'm talking about terrorism, it's narco-terrorism, it's ISIS terrorists, and how much the impact has been when we did nothing for 20 years. And we can go, you know, 30 years, like Chuck was saying, but we worked on it ourselves, and we see this as a crisis in and of itself.
Yeah, which is just, it's just a ridiculous risk for the citizens in this country who I mean, we've got, it's well documented. The Remembrance Project is just one organization that tracks victims of illegal alien murderers.
Well, I think, too, by holding up this Border Security Act that the president's trying to put through, aren't we in more or less one way or another, aren't we somewhat telegraphing to the terrorists that now's the time? I mean, come on, cross the border while you still can, because it's not that hard to come across.
How did the Guatemalan government stop them? I mean, they know. So we're sending up the flares to them, and they're coming through, and they're trying to get as many as they can through.
Mm-hmm.
So there's other ways it happens, too. We can talk about that later. I think Chuck wanted to talk about the president's address, and we can cover that. But I want to make sure we cover the terrorist part, because this is terrible, and that it's been getting worse, not better. And after the fall of ISIS in Iraq, people don't realize, but ISIS came from 100-plus countries. So all these people have access to the United States from different angles. That's what I'm talking about. So if you can check all their routes and lock it down with Interpol and with our intelligence groups, you know, the CIA and different people, counterterrorism groups from the FBI, then you're able to get a better handle on it. And
right.
The DEA, too.
Well, you've done a pretty good job on this information you've sent us with naming some of the high-value terrorists that have been apprehended that crossed our border. So it's not just hearsay. We're actually catching some bad guys coming across, and they're not coming over here to, you know, raise a family. I mean, some people are,
but we've got a program for that. You know, that doesn't mean we've got to let these other folks
and get to where we were before, because the terrorism part we can talk about for a half hour. So,
Chuck, go ahead. Let's talk about the speech.
All right, sorry. Let me be the fun. Yeah. Let me be the fun killer, Chuck. All right, let's take our break early so that you can have plenty of time.
Okay. Yeah, I want to talk about the president's speech and
yes,
a lot of solutions. Thank you.
Yeah, we're definitely okay. The whole next segment will be about that part. You can find all this information at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We will be right back.
The low rider is a little higher.
That was Bruce singing that. You had it carried over from the first segment. Good job, Bruce.
Thank you.
You sounded just like Glenn Frey. It was awesome.
All right, Chuck.
Hit the president's speech, because, you know, he's the master of going on there and doing these speeches in, like, I don't know what it was, 5 or 10 minutes? It was very short.
Yeah, it was. But he said a lot in his speech. A lot of conservatives didn't like it because they thought he was giving away for too little of money for the wall. But again, you know, he had to do a certain strategy, had to ensure that the Democrats listened, that he offered them something. So this was a good test, is where are the Democrats on border security? And so we find out very quickly that it didn't make any difference whatever he offered. They didn't want to do.
Because he gave them exactly what they wanted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so if you look at the border security problem, you know, if you go back and remember what Congressman Bob Goodlatte had suggested with his package of immigration reform, we do need a total package of immigration reform. The border security, the wall, the layered security, that's only one issue that we have to deal with. We have to deal with legislation on chain migration, on catch and release, on e-verify. You know, it's so many different issues that you have to deal with. You've got to deal with them with this particular Congress and with the Democrats in charge of the House. You've got to deal with them one at a time. Even when Mitch McConnell and Paul were, you know, in the House and the Senate leaders, they didn't want to do anything to support President Trump on this either. And so I blame those two when they had the opportunity and they never let him do it. Even in last year's budget in the Senate put in the budget that they had in their money for border security, but President Trump could not use any of the current designs that that people had offered for the concrete wall. And so back in 2016, if you remember, there were two bids put out by DHS, one for a concrete border wall and one for the other wall. And so, you know, we bid on both, and our designs were were not accepted by CBP, don't know why, because we had very good solutions on both of them. But, again, they went with a different kind of wall, and it just goes back to a lot of the entrenched bureaucrats that are at DHS and CBP, right? They don't want a solution either. And so they delay, and they just keep pushing this as far out as they can. That's why, you know, we're not going to get a solution until we get the military involved, in my opinion. And if you look at the $805 million that the president asked for technology, canines, and personnel, this is great. However, if you go back and look at the RFPs put out by CBP on hiring border agents, it's a ridiculous RFP on how they hire border agents, and only about 30% of people that apply are even accepted. And it takes over a year for them to go through all the process. It's really a ridiculous process, and we told CBP that, you know, nobody would bid on it because of how they put the RFP out.
Just to decode that for people, an RFP is a request for proposal, and and that's Customs, CBP is what he's saying, Customs and Border Patrol. Just so border, we're not doing inside baseball here.
Yeah, that's true. And so again, it's how DHS and CBP and ICE puts out these bids and how people respond to them. That's why they really don't get any really good solutions in a short amount of time. And so, you know, do we need more canines and personnel and scanners and all those sort of things? Yes, we do. We have to have them. And, you know, the $800 million that the president is asking for humanitarian assistance, medical support, and new temporary housing, let the military build that. You look at Floor, PAE, all these other companies that build these kinds of facilities overseas for our U.S. troops. That's what they need to build along the border. They need to put them in tents. They need to make life miserable, yet sustain them and keep them fed and clothed and watered, you know, with water and everything else. But they don't need to give them any accessories and the things that make life comfortable. They need to be under some kind of duress because they're entering our country illegally. And we're supporting them.
Right, right. You know, one of the things he said in that speech was this immigration package is going to happen one way or the other. What do you think he meant by that?
I'm not quite sure, because the Democrats are going to never agree to any kind of immigration package unless it gives 24 million people amnesty. And we are not for that. The president's not for that. And so, again,
most Americans aren't for that.
No, absolutely not. And so you look at the speech, and he asked for $563 million for the immigration court system. That's absolutely required. We have over 900,000 cases that are pending. You know, these people disappear in years and years and years later. And so, you know, we need to have the courts on the border and people seen within 3 days. And so 90% of their requests for amnesty and, you know, let them in illegally into our country are bogus. I mean, because they have no legitimate claim according to our laws.
And just to be clear, poverty is not a legitimate claim, is it?
No, absolutely not. It's persecution for religious and other kinds of items like that. You know, you look at the Geneva Convention, you look at our laws, you look at UN laws. You know, these people are not coming because they're being persecuted. You know, if that was the case, we would be accepting a lot more people.
Sure.
The Christians, the Kurds from Iraq and different places around the world. And so they just want to come for a better life. And they don't care about our laws. They do not want to integrate into our society. They want to have their own little Mexico or their own little Central American country customs and everything else. And so that's why you have the MS-13 gangs and all of the other drug dealers in the United States, because we don't control the border. And
well,
if we do,
what Chuck is saying is that they could hide in the subculture,
right?
And work in the subculture and exploit the subculture. It was done with the Vietnamese when they came here too. They had the Vietnamese gangs exploit the Vietnamese people and strong arm them. And the Jamaicans when they came here, they have the Jamaican posses here. They go through. So it's not peculiar just to Central America, is peculiar to having a subculture in the country and having a nefarious group within them, like the Jamaican posses or the Viet Cong gangs or the Chinese gangs, operate in the subculture.
Right. So it's important that once they set up the culture they're running from, once that's set up over here, then that's what you get. You get that subculture of crime and
well, then the girls get put into prostitution rooms.
I know, it's just horrible.
And things of that nature. That's what I don't like. I'm beside myself.
Where's the outrage on that one?
Not very much. But as we looked at Maryland, Chuck, you can talk about that, about the MS-13 in Maryland. That's disgusting.
The MS-13 gang, they rape women in the schools. You know, recently they raped a 14-year-old and, you know, it told her that if she didn't cooperate with them, that they were going to kill her and her family. And so it happens all the time. The other key issue that the president talked about in his speech was TPS. Now, the people from El Salvador, Guatemala, they had been living here for 20 years under this temporary protective service. And, you know, when is that going to stop? And so that's why these people in these caravans go, hey, we have family from Central American countries, and they're protected by TPS. You know, this was put in place years and years ago when they had an earthquake, and it is still going on today. And so, again, these kinds of things have to stop in our immigration system, and the Democrats and others have to look at this and go, enough is enough. But, of course, the Democrats will not do that.
No, you're absolutely right. And just for those folks that aren't real good on geography, Virginia is a long way from the border, and that just kind of shows you how this is impacting the entire country when this is allowed to continue.
Yeah, it isn't. Well, not just the border
right
towns.
With the 24-plus million illegals we have in our country, every town in America is affected.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the sanctuary cities, you look at the sanctuary counties in our area, you look at D.C., you know, they're a sanctuary city. They accept anybody.
Yeah, all you do is get there, and you're basically have a free pass.
And you look at simple things that affect. So people are thinking, well, it doesn't affect me. Well, let's see. If you live in California and you have a driver's license, your driver's license is on the way to being worth nothing. You're going to have to get a real ID because we have given driver's licenses to illegal aliens,
right?
Which made regular, you know, citizens' driver's license not a form of citizenship ID.
Right.
So in order to board a plane, purchase a firearm, do anything that requires federal identification, you're going to either have to use a passport or you'll have to take all the things that would get you a passport to the DMV. You're going to have to prove your citizenship again in order to get a real ID. So, I mean, really?
How does that make any sense? That's just ridiculous.
And if you're not sure, if you've renewed your license in the last year, like, say, 2018, because I'm not sure when it started being printed, but I know for sure it was on there last year. In the top right-hand corner of your license, it says not to be – where's your driver's license? Bill got his right when it started happening in March, and it's got little black writing.
Federal limits apply.
There you go. So if your license says federal limits apply, you need a real ID.
And I believe that goes into effect in 2021.
No, 2020.
Oh, 2020?
Yeah, can't board a plane or anything else, and I wouldn't wait. DMV takes a while.
Yep. You know, and the same thing with trying to put the question on the census questionnaire. You know, are you a legal citizen? I mean, the Democrats don't want that at all because they were – you know, they would lose probably 40 seats in Congress if we did not include illegals on the Census Bureau.
See, and how crazy is that? So
it is.
I don't know.
It's all about power. It's all about votes.
Yeah.
And you look at California. I mean, ever since Ronald Reagan did what he did, California has gone down the slippery slope of sanctuary cities, letting illegals in, giving them driver's license, letting them have everything.
Well, and when we give them driver's licenses, they're basically automatically registered to vote.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I'm looking forward to the federal government saying Californians, you cannot use your driver's license to get on an airplane.
Yeah, and it's coming. We're less than a year out.
Yeah, because there'll be a lot of people that are going to show up at the airport, and they're not going anywhere.
Surprise!
They're not paying attention.
We have to take a really quick break again. We're going to come back.
I got some more questions on his speech, too.
About the president's speech?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Contrary to the Democrats who think walls are immoral and that's not who we are, actually, we usually do the right thing. And bringing in drugs and human trafficking and murderers and all the rest of it, that would not be who we are. So, President's speech, you had a question.
The president is a master negotiator and I think if you really listen to what he said in that speech, he left room for negotiation. I think what I read into that was here's what I want. You know, come back with a counteroffer. And the Democrats had condemned it before he even finished it.
Yeah, they're not master negotiators.
Yeah, I mean they shut it down before he even. Made his offer.
So he decides to renegotiate with Kim for the denuclearization. That's going on at the same time. Mm-hmm. He has better luck with the communist regime in North Korea than he does with the Democrats.
Yeah, it's
yeah, that's
it's
true.
It's nuts. Do you think
it's world precedent that he opened negotiations with North Korea, and the Democrats can't even come to the table with him?
Right.
That's ridiculous.
And that's a really big deal. I mean, we haven't had talks with that nation in decades.
Forever.
You know,
he's the first president to do it.
Yeah,
they released hostages. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they brought back remains. Never done before.
Right.
And what are the Democrats doing? No. And you know,
Do you think they'll come back with a counteroffer? Do you think this is really kind of a shining a light on them that? You know, it's time to negotiate and stop the nonsense. Do you think they're going to pick up any of that?
But they understand that the policy is weak, doesn't have a strong rationale, and their judgment is flawed in how they're presenting it. Now, we all understand the borders need to be secure. They do, too. But they've been playing it since we've worked on the Secure Fence Act. So it's time for them to come around and come around to President Trump and help him get the border secured like he wants, and then they can negotiate whatever President Trump feels is, you know, negotiable in the temporary sense.
Well, let's face it, we've got these guys on tape for years agreeing to all the things that now are supposedly super bad.
But they never carried it forward. That's the difference.
Yeah, right.
When you vote for it, it's how you act afterwards, and they never really fulfilled their promises.
Chuck, what do you...
Sorry, Chuck.
What do you say on that?
Well, you know, Nancy Pelosi is in a real box right now because it's all about the 2020 election, denying the president on his number one issue. However, if you remember last week when she sent the president a letter about delaying the State of the Union
address, right.
Right.
She does not want to be sitting behind the president with him giving the State of Union address and focusing on the border and turning around and saying it's her fault. And so
he wouldn't do that.
She's not as dumb as she looks.
No, he wouldn't do that.
And so that's why she sent him a letter trying to delay it, because she doesn't want anything going on about the government shutdown and the border funding issue with her sitting behind him and he talking about it. It's going to make her look really stupid.
Again. Yeah,
right.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I think if I was the president, I would have a Secret Service guy very, very close to her, because her sitting behind me that close would make the hair on my neck stand up.
Yeah, it's a little sweaty.
Well, she stands behind President Trump to his right, and Vice President Pence stands to the left.
Right.
He's the one who's, you know, and then you have Mitch McConnell.
Oh, that's good. And Pence is right-handed, yeah. So he could take her out.
Yeah.
She's little.
Yep. Yeah.
So if
no agreement is accomplished, then it's going to force President Trump to do the national security emergency.
That's what I was going to ask you. What do you think do we talk odds or probability? How's that?
Well, I don't want to go there because I think it's the worst possible scenario that Congress can't do their job.
Again.
I think Congress is not doing their job.
It's a problem with Congress not doing their job. However, the president has the job of protecting Americans, and so he should go there. If they don't agree within the next several days, he has to go there and do a national security emergency.
It's just a terrible selection, though, from my point of view, because Congress is supposed to do their job. Now, they're not doing their job. Now, he has to act, because it is a crisis. That's what I think Chuck is saying.
Yeah, and so before he does the national security emergency, he has to have a very detailed plan in place.
Yes,
he has to have the PR, the media strategy, the military plan, the talking points, the legislation. He has to make sure that he has a plan for the Democrats going to a federal judge. So there are lots of things that need to be planned prior to him pulling that trigger.
Sure, because otherwise it'll turn out with some judge in Hawaii or the Ninth Circuit who says you can't do it and it's tied up in court forever, stalemate.
That's right. And so the White House has to do a very detailed strategy and job before he does this. But again, if the Democrats don't come to the table within 3 or 4 days this week, then I encourage him to do the national security emergency and start getting the military.
I mean,
most
presidents have declared a national emergency or a national crisis. I mean, we had hurricanes and a whole slew of things that every president has taken. We have the War Powers Act when they can, you know, work outside of Congress, you know, and deploy troops. So, I mean, there's many things at the president's disposal that, since I'm talking from the national security point of view, Congress should support this. And so we have the Senate that will and the House that won't. So who works on the treaties? Not the House, but the Senate. They approve treaties. Who works on appropriations? That's the, you know, first comes has to be, you know, started in the
started
House.
Started in the House, yeah.
Yeah, but what I'm saying here is, what is the president's power, initial power, is a national security crisis. And I look at it as such. I mean, I looked at it that way for at least 10 years, that we've allowed the narco-terrorist cartels to grow in stature and power in the United States. It caused huge problems. Now we have the heroin, opioid epidemic for the last 5 years. We were dealing with meth and cocaine for 20 years. Now we have another one that raises its ugly head. And how much money are the narco-terrorist cartels making? We're talking about billions and billions of dollars of influence peddling going on in the United States and around the world. That has to stop.
Well, I think somewhere in here I read that they have confiscated enough fentanyl across the border to OD every human in the country. I mean, that's how big it is.
Yes, that is true. And, you know, another item that we normally don't talk about is our remittances. You look at the remittances of the 24-plus million illegals in our country, and you're talking about billions of dollars a year. And they go through the banks, you know, Walmart. If you put money into a Walmart account in Texas or New York, you can draw on that account in Mexico. And so there are numerous ways that the remittances get back to their individual families that are still in Mexico, El Salvador, different places. And so that's one thing that we haven't even talked about and don't even have a solution for.
Yeah, that would be huge if you stop the transfer of funds going out of the country. Man, that would create all kinds of hate and discontent.
Well, there's two things that the narco-national, transnational terrorists work with. Money laundering. They're
sure.
Every country, every bank, mm-hmm. Everywhere. It's all legitimized and illegitimate businesses. They've had 30 years to do this. They're not kids at this. The cartels are very wise and shrewd, and they've infected and infiltrated our country. I mean, infected the minds of people that they don't understand how far and deep this is and widespread.
No, they've been at this, you're right, a long, long time, and they know what they're doing. They're very professional about it. Another thing we never talked about is which a little bit off topic, but the influence that the cartels now have in Europe and how far-reaching their power is.
Asia, Europe, Philippines, Africa. I mean, they're everywhere now.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
aside from, you know, Central and South America, that's a given.
Sure. And if we want to, you know, throw a notice out to another country, we've had a lot of listeners tune in the last 30 days from France, actually. So, you know, good for you, Yellow Vest guys. And that's what happens.
France, viva la revolution, viva la difference for you guys.
Yeah, you let your country go crazy. Get ready for your citizens to have yellow vests. I'm kind of thinking that Americans with our background, we're not going to go for the yellow vest, but
they've done it in Britain already.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll have some version of that that'll be ugly. I think people are actually, I think that there's an undercurrent of that, and that would be a really bad place to go.
Horrible.
Got to take one last quick break. We'll be right back with our guests.
I want to say hello to everybody in Ukraine, too.
Chuck Floyd and Bruce Moran. Yeah, the French beat out the Ukrainians. Ukrainians, you better boost up your listenership. The French took you out this last time.
Yeah. I want to talk about one item on money laundering when we get back.
Oh, cool. Okay. We'll be right back with money laundering here at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
I've never really been, but I sure like to go. Then why, Mexico? I guess I'll have to go. Mexico.
that should be President Trump's theme song. You should, they should play that before all of his news conferences. Maybe at the end. I don't know.
Yep. No, no. Yeah.
Just play it underneath him talking.
Well, Chuck, we wanted to talk.
Okay, Chuck, teach us how to money launder, Chuck.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. You know, the Department of Treasury has a whole unit that does nothing but track money and funds internationally. What has been the biggest money laundering project in our history? And the Democrats say nothing about it. That's when President Obama gave Iran cash,
pallets,
untraceable
cash.
Bills, a plane full of cash, in order to try to get favor with Iran. And
yeah.
So that's exactly what the CIA, the Treasury Department, and others try to prevent. Because they track money all over the world, especially drug money and money going to Iran, different places. And so that's why the Iranians wanted piles and piles of billions of dollars in cash so that it's not traceable. And where is that money going? North Korea, Lebanon, Syria, all these different places so they can buy the weapons and pay for the terrorist activities that they control around the world.
They're probably buying the porta potties for the caravan.
Absolutely. And so we never hear the Democrats or anybody bring that up, but that has been the biggest money laundering scheme in our nation's history, and it was President Obama who came up with that.
How much money do we think it was, not that we could ever prove it?
It was billions of dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah, billions in cash on pallets. I saw
remember seeing the pictures of the pallets of cash.
Yeah, and then once they did that, then they also opened up the other assets, and so it was hundreds of billions of dollars between the U.S. and Europe and whatever that were tied up. And so they benefited from it.
So how do they get that money from cash? How do they get that into the back end of the monetary system? I mean, they go through European banks. How's that work?
They give it to Glenn Frey's friends, the Smuggler's Blues guys. And they,
I mean, it's easy.
Give them guns.
You know, they carry money in diplomatic pouches all over the world. And so they will give, you know, $1 million to the guys in Lebanon. And what do? They pay their people. They go buy weapons and other things to target Israel. And you know, they're using that money in Syria, different places. And so that's a terrorist dream, just to have cash.
Sure.
Well, it's no different than the cartels when they have these stash houses and they have the, you know, rooms full of money. I mean, that's always their biggest problem, is how to get rid of it. You know, how do you get that cash?
Well, they open up legitimate businesses now. It's been 30 years, so they have ranches, farms. They bought land, probably ranches and farms in the United States. They're growing the stuff there. They got, those are their depots, their transportation distribution centers. We know that for a fact, but I don't want to talk too much about that.
And then they fund all of the gangs and other individuals in the U.S. that do the distribution of their drugs.
Right. Sure, that's how they all get all the new sneakers and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Super fancy smartphones and all that. There's a lot of money in that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
you spread that kind of cash around, you can peddle a lot of influence.
You can buy a little loyalty, even if it's short term.
Well, you look at the report that came out last week.
$1.7 billion
Oh, thank you.
You look at the report last week that came out and said the previous president of Mexico received $100 million from El Chapo.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah.
Hmm.
And so all these, they use this money to buy off politicians. And so, you know, the other issue I always ask the State Department and the federal government is, why does Mexico have over 60 consular affairs offices in the U.S.? It's only one reason. It's to help all the illegals that are here. And so, to me, we should close 60 of them overnight.
Jeez. Hey, so tell us, you have points 5 and 6 on our list. I'm kind of the fun killer today.
Yep.
So, because we've got, like, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. But you had listed an item on here that said basically what could average citizens do. You want to tap that a little bit?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. The average citizens who are fed up with what's going on need to call their elected members of Congress and tell them they want action, they want a settlement, they need to support the president, they need to write articles, they need to get on the radio like we're doing today, they need to march, they need to protest and say that we support the president and we don't believe in the fake news on these other, on NBC and ABC and all these other places. And one of the things that, you know, we talked about earlier, is that maybe what we need to do is organize a march for the wall in Washington, D.C. And so I think we would have hundreds of thousands of people show up for a march in D.C. that supports the president for border security.
No, I think that would say a lot.
Yeah.
Although it would probably not make much TV coverage, but
it'd be like the March for Life that had, I don't know, a gazillion people and you hardly heard anything about it, but the idiotic women's march was all over the news.
Yeah, well, we would probably,
I want to say our support goes out to the Heritage Foundation too, Jim Carafano, who set up this national security side of it, and we communicate on a regular basis, and the founder of Heritage is Foner, Ed Foner, a Chicago boy. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh.
Yeah, he came
back
to
your old hometown, eh?
Set up the Heritage Foundation.
There are a lot of organizations that help us.
Somebody's going to the
Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch and a lot of others that help us and support what we're doing in the D.C.
area. Yeah, Tom Fitton at Judicial Watch, great, great patriot.
He does a great job.
I like Lou Dobbs has been sticking like a dog to this border security thing. Of course, Hannity and Laura, too. But Lou Dobbs, I don't mention him enough. You know, he's been a true patriot, so...
Yeah. And, you know, we also thank you for letting us be on and talk about the layered border security plan, because, you know, I talk to a lot of, you know, people throughout, you know, D.C., Florida, different places that I go, and they go, what's a wall? We don't know what a wall is. We're against a wall.
Right.
You know, well, are you against a layered border security plan? Well, what's that? And so people,
yeah, we'd like,
you know,
to reemphasize that.
Does not know what it is.
Yeah, well, it's a layered border security system with sensors, UAVs, when we're talking about drones, a whole slew of things that are needed technology-wise to really lock down the border and secure the border and protect all those people that live around the border.
I really do.
The farmers, the people in the small villages.
Sure.
Yeah, and I can't emphasize enough, I really do hope people go to the January 20th, 2019 page on our website at wethepeopleradio.us. From that page, you can send that through Facebook. You could send the link through email. You can print the document. All of our information is free of charge.
That's got a PDF on there with all this information.
PDF and a Word document.
Transfer.
Sure. And the commercial free archive will be up here this afternoon. So you can send that out to people who maybe understand it and would like better, like to be better informed. And make sure you send it to people who don't get it. A lot of times you can't have that discussion because, you know, it seems like lately if you disagree, everybody loses their mind. But perhaps if you just sent it to them, maybe they would accidentally read it when you weren't looking and get smart.
Yeah, we are as a nation, I think we're just terribly divided on this and a lot of other topics. But this in particular right now, I think is
occupying. Well, it's just because it's Trump's, you know, what do you hear on the media, right? It's Trump's vanity project. Really? When did border security for a country become one guy's
every president
issue,
we've ever had has had a project, a pet project, whatever you want to call it. But this particular issue is long overdue.
This was the citizenry's pet project. We just got a president to actually say it.
We've got to get moving on. We can't give up on it now. We've come further than I think we've come in a long time to getting actual stuff done. And if we let this opportunity pass, I doubt if we'll ever see it happen again.
We're big idiots.
The same holds true for Europe. You have to hold your guns on your borders, make sure your countries are protected, and you're going through the same thing we're going through here. And don't let it become a political issue, let it become a citizen issue.
Exactly.
The citizens, let their voices be heard.
and citizens demanding solutions. You know, for all the people who don't like President Trump, I guess you're going to have to separate that from whether or not you think we're an actual country. Because it, without borders, we're not really a country.
No.
Doesn't really count.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for being on.
Fellas, we appreciate it.
Keep us posted.
We have been chatting here with Chuck Floyd, the Chief Executive Officer, and Bruce Moran, the National Security Advisor, both with Security Solutions Technologies. Easy for me to say.
Yeah.
You can find all the information about this program at wethepeopleradio.us, and please contact us if you want further information or you'd like to interview the guests we've had on today, because we'd love to make them available to you. Thanks a lot, guys. We will see everybody next week.